This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, April 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Tomato challenge returns. California is not Washington. Clean air waivers stay for now. Farm equipment delays expected. The AgriPulse Tomato Challenge kicks off today. Backed by popular demand, the Great Tomato Challenge returns to Sacramento today. It's in partnership with Senate Ag Chair Melissa Hurtado. The competition is open to members of the California Senate and Assembly and their staff. The winner will be announced at the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issues Summit in Sacramento on June 10th. AgriPulse will make a $1,000 donation to a California food bank of the winner's choice, along with a $500 donation for second place. The winner will be invited to speak at the summit. The competition, quote, educates participants about the challenges of growing delicious tomatoes in the Golden State, while also helping those in need of fresh local food, according to AgriPulse founder Sarah Wyatt. Contestants can pick up their plants in room 7400 of the Capitol Annex swing space from 3 to 4 o'clock. California Women for Agriculture providing the gardening gloves, and the plants are courtesy Vegetables by Bayer. Bonnie Plants and Demare Fresh are providing guidance and support. All are sponsoring the event along with Morningstar. Newsom. California is still open for business. Governor Gavin Newsom on Friday directed agencies to find ways to maintain international partnerships and make California a smaller target for retaliatory tariffs during President Donald Trump's escalating trade war. Newsom called for shoring up jobs, innovation, and economic stability for businesses and workers. The governor also wants to head off potentially skyrocketing construction costs as Los Angeles rebuilds after the January firestorms. Newsom touted California as the top state for agriculture and manufacturing and said farmers and workers, quote, stand to lose the most from this Trump tax hike. His message to trade partners is that California is not Washington, D.C. Sound familiar? Well, Newsom made a similar move as one of his first acts in office. In 2019, he issued an executive order establishing a trade committee. Now, to chair the committee, he appointed Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kalinicki, who served as U.S. Ambassador to Hungary under the Obama administration, one of several candidates running for governor next year. Though the informal gathering of cabinet heads faded away during the pandemic, Newsom appointed Kalinicki as his trade representative in 2022. The committee reopened a trade office in Mexico that had been shuttered during the Gray Davis administration. Newsom's international agenda has largely focused on non-binding agreements over climate policy. And on that note, on Saturday, the Newsom administration appealed to USDA to restore $47 million for food banks purchasing California-grown foods. The governor called the action, quote, an irrational and malicious slashing of funds. First partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom, the state's biggest farm-to-school champion, described it as devastating loss for families and the farmers who supply the foods. Two organic growers in San Diego County, one small farmer and Sanger involved in the program, decried the funding freeze as a brutal contract breach and not in the best interest of farmers. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Congress cannot overturn clean air waivers. GOP lawmakers will not be able to cancel California's Clean Air Act waivers through the Congressional Review Act. The Senate parliamentarian said the authority does not exist under the act. California Senator Alex Padilla praised the decision. He called the effort to overturn the waivers, quote, a clearly bogus attempt to undercut California's climate leadership. California Representative Doug Lamoff has introduced three resolutions to repeal the waivers. He argued the regulation contradicts principles of consumer choice and gives trucking and automotive industries an unfair compliance timeline. DPR seeks input on Environmental Justice Committee to create a new Environmental Justice Advisory Committee, Department of Pesticide Regulation, hosting a series of workshops through May to gather public input. The committee was initiated by AB 652 and is responsible for integrating EJ concepts into recommendations for the department. At the workshops, commenters can help identify committee goals and ways for DPR to assess membership criteria. Remember, California Farm Bureau opposed AB 652 for potentially allowing DPR to weigh environmental priorities heavier than others. Kings County Farm Bureau hosts talks on its Sigma probation. Kings County Farm Bureau plans to educate local water users on the possible impacts of its Sigma probation. The first two informational meetings will be on Wednesday at Lemoore College. The County Farm Bureau is asking residents, farmers, and business owners to show up and learn about what probation means for the Tulare Lake Subbasin. KCFB also will share more about its pending lawsuit against the State Water Board. Farm equipment manufacturer warns of delays as tariffs go into effect. The first wave of President Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariff hikes now in effect as of Saturday. That means almost all imports are subject to an additional 10% tariff. With more tariff increases set to kick in this week, a farm equipment manufacturer warning of future delays and price hikes. Greg Petras, the president at Kuhn North America, told AgriPulse this weekend that a quarter of all stock comes from Europe and the European Union is due to get hit with a 20% reciprocal tariff starting Wednesday. "We just have a lot of shipments on hold," Petras said. He said Kuhn is not increasing or replacing stock as normal until the firm has worked out how much of the tariff it can absorb and how much must be passed on to consumers to remain profitable. Now, take note, Trump said the tariffs will spur companies to relocate manufacturing operations in the U.S. Petras says that's simply not feasible. He said, quote, "It's not like we have a lot of extra labor. It would also take many years to relocate supply chains for intricate components. If that was the practical thing to do, we would have already done it," he added. Looking ahead, U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer will be on Capitol Hill twice this week, testifying before the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee. Now, for more on that and the rest of what's going on in our nation's capital, you can read our Washington Week Ahead. Here's today's final word. It's not that the prices go up for us in the short term. It'll be next year or the year after when there's less production. That Driscoll CEO Soren Bjorn telling Fox Business that Blu-ray prices could eventually rise as much as $2 per clamshell due to the tariff war. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, April 7th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.